this is my weekly podcast, Adventures with Postpartum Depression, a show dedicated to sharing stories and spreading awareness about maternal mood disorders. For show notes and more information, please go to my website, ppdadventures.com. There's also a Facebook page, facebook.com/ppdadventures. And now, on to the show. Hello, adventurers. This is episode 78, which I thought I was going to get up, 2 weeks ago, at least for you. But life happened. We got rear-ended on the freeway. Everyone was fine. So not even a touch of soreness or whiplash or, all the complaints that can happen when you get in a car accident. Kids were in their car seats. Car seats did their job. We were just in traffic on a freeway coming home from my parents' house first Saturday of September. And, sometimes you stop really suddenly because you don't have enough time from the car ahead of you, and then that's when you're at danger for getting rear-ended. That didn't happen. And then I hear the screeching sound of a car braking, and we were in the fast lane, I looked on the other side of the freeway thinking I was about to see an accident, and then boom, we get hit. The kids were fine, they handled it like champs. Julian had a nightmare that night, which I assume happened. He rarely has nightmares, so I assume he had like a car accident related nightmare, but otherwise he's been fine and the kids have talked it out. But it was just the pain in the ass of dealing with my car, because it was my car, and I got rear-ended, and the car, Nathan was driving, and the car, it handled it really well, but it needed a new muffler, it needed a whole new bumper, and then the back door was just, I don't even know if they put a new back door on or what. I mean, it was just banged up to hell. And that took like 2 weeks. And it was just the logistics. And everything came out of my personal time. I mean, that's just the way life is when we're moms. You're not just living one life anymore. You're living many lives. And your free time is limited. And when something like a car accident comes along, I mean, I'm trying to live my life. I've been consciously working on trimming the fat and not having too much, not being over programmed, because I don't like rushing. I don't like having an overloaded to-do list, but it's back to school time. And I have two kids now in two different schools, which is fun. We'll talk about that later. And so my life is, I'm trying to live it. I'm trying to keep it as slow as possible, but it's busy. And it's not like the time to fix my car was like, oh, I'll just not feed the kids this week. I just won't make their food. I won't pack Pippa's lunches for school, and I just won't make dinner or breakfast, and that's cool, and then I'll have enough time to handle the car. Like, of course it doesn't happen that way. The time comes out of my time. And, I have to, the 2 hours I get while Julian, after the kindergarten drop-off while Julian's at preschool, that's when I have to take my car to the car shop, and we had insurance that, handled it very well and worked the way it was supposed to. But, you had to use one of their shops. And of course, the local Pasadena shop has like 1.5-star ratings. So the good shop was like 20 minutes away. So I have to go the 20 minutes over there, then take a 20-minute Uber ride back to Pasadena and go to the car rental and get the car and then take it home and put the car seats. Oh my God, all of the car seats. It was good to get new car seats for the kids. They were getting old and disgusting. And so, yay, new car seats. But you know how fun it is to just read through the manual and reapply the button on the buckle on the bottom. And it's not rocket science. This was really overwhelming to me when I had postpartum depression, but now it's easy, but it still takes time. So I had to do that all once, and then the next week getting the car back, I had to do it all over again, chauffeuring kids to school, running home, taking car seats out, going to, Enterprise, Uber, body shop, home, put the car seats back in. Hence no podcast episode. So that's where I am. Also, I have a lot of cream cheese. I just accidentally just keep buying too much cream cheese at the store. So any of you locals who need cream cheese, just kidding. I mean, the kids will go through it eventually. I just have to remember not to buy cream cheese next week. Or the week after at the grocery store. And I'm really happy Dino Chicken's back. Pippa, the only meat she eats is Dino Chicken. It has to be breaded and looking like a dinosaur. And the past 2 weeks, the grocery store did not have Dino Chicken. And so dinner's been a little interesting. A lot of spaghetti and yogurt, some pizza thrown in. But it'll be nice to just have one more dinner back in rotation, because I've got a child who's a picky eater, and she eats vegetables, she eats fruits, she doesn't even want flavored yogurt, she wants plain yogurt. So she's actually a very good, healthy eater. But like dinner is a little bit like there's like three meals. And so when one gets pulled out of rotation, it's a little like, oh, come on, I don't want to make spaghetti again. It's 90 degrees out. So that's where we are. This is an interview this week. We have an interview with Emily, who is a licensed clinical social worker in Maryland. And she offers therapeutic services and healing tools to clients through self-reflection guides, pre-baby and postpartum consultation workshops, and psychotherapy. She's married to her best friend, which she knows is it's so cheesy but true. And she has two littles, ages 1 and 3. She likes tea, playing outside, and all of that woo-woo spiritual stuff. We're talking today with Emily. I meant to get you this interview several weeks ago, but like I said, life happens. She is for her website is called thenestingspacetherapy.com. So she's coming to us from the perspective of a mom who's been in the trenches and had her own postpartum experiences that she's going to talk about. But she's also a therapist who it feels called to work with moms postpartum and pregnancy wise. So we're talking about all things postpartum from two different aspects, and also talking about her books, Birth Story Held, and I copied all of this stuff. Okay, here it is. I swear, it's just been a couple of weeks of craziness here. Her story, Birth Story Brave, is available on Amazon, and she has another book, and I'm just losing. I swear, I copied all of this right here into my notes, but she has another book. She's going to talk about it. That is for doulas and obstetricians and people who work with moms, and she is her books are guides for writing your own story. And I think writing is just such a powerful therapeutic tool, and we all have a story, and it's we all have a story worth telling, and you don't have to write a book and publish it, but Emily has created these guides to help you just write your own like journal version or just something for yourself so that you can experience the therapeutic experience of writing a story. Okay, that's enough babbling from me. I'll see you on the other side, and I'm going to turn you over to Emily. Hi, Emily. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Hey, Courtney, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
So I've found you on, I think we met through Instagram, and
Instagram, yep.
I know a bit about your story, but where does you have the personal motherhood journey, but you also have you're a therapist and that journey. Which one started first?
Right. So, well, I guess the therapist journey started first, technically, if you include, my education with getting my MSW and doing my clinical hours, and getting my undergraduate, not my undergraduate, my first license. And then after my son was born, I got my clinical license so I could practice independently. But so really a lot of my professional journey has been in line with some of my motherhood journey, because it wasn't until after my son was born that I became really clear about some of the work that I wanted to do. So, after my son was born, not even after, during pregnancy, I experienced a lot of anxiety. I had a lot of fear. I had a lot of, and I had gone off of medication. I had previously been. So I come by this very honestly. I had a previous, diagnosis of anxiety, but it was under control. It was fine, and I was working with it. But during pregnancy, when I was encouraged to go off medication, that's another. I don't agree with that, but now I know more. And I definitely experienced a lot of anxiety during pregnancy and was sort of white knuckling it through, having panic attacks and things like that. And it wasn't really, I think I want to say I talked to some of my midwives about it, but it wasn't validated really at all. Like, oh, you'll feel better once the baby's born. You'll feel better once the baby's born. And I did not feel better after my son was born. I ended up having, so he was frank breech. I had a C-section, so there was a lot of, feelings at the time of lack of control, feeling like I had failed in some way, that I wasn't changing his positioning, even though, of course, I had no actual control over that. At the time, I really felt like I did. I really felt like, oh, I didn't do this technique, or I didn't do it right, or so I'm willing to bet that that played a role in my postpartum anxiety. Mm-hmm. But I remember, you know, being in the hospital after he was born and not being able to sleep and just having these, you know, racing thoughts and, or I should say being able to fall asleep, but then waking up in a panic attack, like, pretty regularly. And the nurses and staff were not very supportive. I had to, luckily I was able to advocate for myself a bit and, was asking, you know, is there something I can take to take the edge off? And they ended up having me call a doctor that was outside of the hospital to call them to say that it was okay for me to have Ativan. So like they didn't want to like do it. It was very, they were very uncertain and really not up to date on information. Ativan, you know, is completely safe to take while breastfeeding, and I was breastfeeding. And so, but by the time I got home, I was, you know, sleeping, but again, like waking up with the panic attacks and things like that. And so like,
excuse me,
I continued to see, that's okay. Continued to see a therapist for a little bit. But then sort of, honestly, what got me through that was getting back on my regular medication and putting myself out there and doing things that scared the crap out of me. Like doing, going places with my son and putting myself out there, you know, which are some of the things that I talk to my current clients about. And then, so I got back to a normal, quote unquote, normal level of functioning. And then with my daughter, did not have anxiety during pregnancy. Now I did stay on medication this time. I stayed on, Lexapro, which is, which had been very helpful. And I definitely think it's a tool we can use. You know, it's, we have all sorts of other tools to learn and use, but it's another tool, right? So, I did not have the same level of anxiety when I was pregnant with her, but still experienced afterwards. I think that that's sort of like that crash that we experienced with our hormones right after delivery. I'm particularly sensitive to that, I guess. And, it really causes a fallout for several weeks. So, but same thing, like when some symptoms that concerned me showed up, I checked in with a therapist. It was a different one this time, who was amazing. She did sensory motor psychotherapy, which I wasn't even actually familiar with. And it's incredible. I am such, like, I even looked into getting training for that myself, but, she was incredible.
So what's that called? Sensory motor?
Yeah, sensory motor psychotherapy. And the idea is that we store, you know, memories and trauma. Trauma being used, you know, I think that word is, it's a trigger word, right? Because we think of like abuse and things like that, but it doesn't have to be that way. Trauma is, it's relative. And so we can experience something as trauma that, you know, the person growing up next door to us did not experience as traumatic. And we store these memories in our bodies. And so sensory motor psychotherapy works at accessing that and sort of going back to that, accessing that memory and feeling the feels around it. And using, as part of it, is using your current self to sort of parent and heal your younger self, which it's a technique that some other therapies have used as well, but this is a very specific, you know, way of doing it. And I found it to be incredibly powerful. I had not found that therapist my first time around, after having, my son, but when I had my daughter, a friend had recommended her. Now I remember a friend had recommended her and she was just like exactly what I needed. It was exactly what I needed. So that allowed me to heal after that point. But I totally skipped over, like, in between was when I learned that I wanted to start working with new moms and pregnant women. And that was something that was really powerful to me. I got super excited and impassioned. I had been working with sort of just a general population of clients with anxiety and depression, and I found that work rewarding. But I wanted to specialize in something. I wanted to have, you know, sort of like my energies focused in one area. And that just clicked for me.
That's awesome. We need more of those.
Yeah, it absolutely clicked for me. And things are shifting a little bit now, but that's a whole different, still in the same realm of things. I can tell you more about that later. But
so What work do you, where does the work run with new moms? Is it mostly postpartum depression or, you know, all the maternal mood disorders, or is it also just moms making the transition?
I think it's all of that. And now, I definitely do only a limited amount of client work now because I have my own two young children and that's the choice that I've made. Right. But, I want to say for me personally, there's been a lot more, I've seen a lot more clients dealing with symptoms of anxiety. And of course that can be something that comes in part with, you know, postpartum depression. And of course that can be that umbrella term, used now, but I think that's most of the symptoms that I have seen come up for my particular clients. And that can be in pregnancy, you know, like if on bed rest, that can be a real triggering time when you're talk about feeling lack of control, you know, mm-hmm. And then the anxieties that come with the transition, and then sort of the adjustment disorder type of thing where people are just shifting, they're transitioning, and it's hard. It can be really help to have a person that's not in it with you to talk about it with, you know, it's different from having a friend chat with you about the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I've heard the phrase adjustment disorder before. What is that though? I still don't have
so a adjustment disorder. Yeah. So adjustment disorder is, a disorder where, and it's, see, for me, I really do feel like a lot of us experience this. It's basically where you go through a stressful life event or a transition or something like that, and you have trouble getting back to your previous level of functioning. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't meet criteria for anxiety. It doesn't meet criteria for depression. However, you can have adjustment disorder, like primarily with anxious symptoms. You can have primarily with depressive symptoms. You can have mixed. But it's sort of like I would call it more of a disorder of transition and adjustment. That's not my funny. It's almost as if the people who named that disorder thought the same thing, but yeah, that's exactly what it is. And I think it's what we go through. A lot of us go through when we're going from one life place to another. It's not, it's really what I end up seeing perhaps even the most of, is the adjustment piece. It's like cases that aren't necessarily severe enough mm-hmm. to warrant the depression diagnosis, but they definitely have depressive symptoms and things like that.
We just got the wheels in my head whirling around, you know?
Yes.
Because doctors aren't necessarily, they don't always have the training that you have. So they're so quick to label PPD. I wonder how many moms are just sort of getting a diagnosis that isn't even helpful for them.
That's a good point. And I obviously, of course, I don't know the exact answer to that, but I wonder that too. And again, and we've talked about this a little bit before when we were just chatting that, you know, sometimes the label isn't as important as the symptoms that you're treating. And now don't take that the wrong way. I mean, I still think it's important for people in the perinatal, you know, place in life to get assistance from a professional who's trained in that area, but I don't know that diagnoses are always the most important thing. We want to make sure that we're treating the symptoms, but people get really caught up in labels. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And labels can be really limiting. Labels can make us feel that we are something that, you know, that's not us. It's something that we have. It's something that we're dealing with, but it's not you. It's not me. So I think it's something, you know, like it doesn't have to be, and well, for insurance purposes, it is what it is, you know, you have to do it, but in other realms, you have a little bit more flexibility in treating the symptoms versus like having this really, the stamp mm-hmm. sort of. Yeah.
So you wrote Birth Story Brave, and we're not doing a video, so I don't know why I'm showing it to you on the camera.
I do know what it looks like, but you know.
It's your book. How did you decide to write this? I mean, you know me, I love writing too, and I want to get as many moms writing as possible because I think it's so cathartic. So just like, where did this start? Was this like come from working with your patients? And
so, and I will say, it's so funny. Like I'm so hesitant to call it a book, which is totally my own stuff. Like, I'm like, it's a guide. Like you wrote a book, Courtney. Like, like, that's a book. When I first saw this in print, I was like, oh no, like it's slim. But that's also kind of the idea. I wanted it to be super accessible, super, you know, non-intimidating, something you can pick up and put down and all that. I actually got the idea for this pretty soon after my daughter was born. So last year, she was born in March. So probably like April of 2017, I just started feeling like I needed a creative outlet. Mm-hmm. I needed a place to still feel like a relevant professional. I wasn't working. I decided that I would take some time off from having clients and doing work. But I still knew that I needed to reach someone, to connect. And I'll be honest, and that part was healing for me as well. But I started thinking about, I guess, what's available out there as ways for us to process our childbirth experiences. So what exists, how we talk about it, the things that we don't talk about, and the things that we don't reflect on, because it's a really huge thing to go through. And that's not just, you know, the physical effort or the fear, it's the identity shift and the way that the actual birth impacts us. And, you know, meeting this being that we created, but it's how it impacts us. And that's not something that we, you know, when friends and family come to visit after baby's born, we don't talk about that. We don't talk about, and this is what it felt like to me. And, I was really scared in this moment, but I worked through it, or this is the new meaning I can get from that. This is the way I can reframe that time. You know, I think there was one, I'm forgetting whether it was, there was one reframe that I was able to come across in my working through of the questions that sort of to rename the story of like this powerful partnership between my husband and I. Because even though my daughter was a VBAC and it was, we thought that the labor would take a lot longer. It did not. And so our doula basically met us at the hospital and was like running in because I showed up at 8.5 centimeters. My husband did all the support at home, and that was a while. Like, his arms were numb. So, but there was this story of powerful partnership that I was able to, I wouldn't have uncovered that and thought about it in the same way had I not done the reflection in with those questions. And I'll be honest too, it took me a while to get through the, like, I came out with the guide and then I felt like a fraud. I was like, I haven't used my own questions. I haven't done it. And I don't know if I was like distracted or maybe there was some level of fear underneath. You know, I had a lot of feelings about my son's C-section and then I just did it. And I felt awesome after. I felt so empowered. I felt so good.
Yeah, so, it's...
And then that made me feel good that I was like, oh yeah, like I can say firsthand that this tool is amazing. Yeah.
Did you write directly into the book? So for listeners, the book has space, like at the top of the page, there's, you know, a couple questions typed and then there's space for writing. So did you do it right into the book too?
So I did not. So for a couple reasons. So I did it in a journal, and that's one of the things that I do say in the front, I think it's in the intro, like that you can, I invite you to use your own beautiful space, whatever feels right to you, whether it's typing or writing or, you know, we all have our different styles. I specifically didn't because I felt like that would be limiting. If mm-hmm. I say I was to provide lined spaces, I didn't want to limit people and say like, you have to fit your response to this question exactly in this space. And I knew that they'd have to buy multiple ones for different births, which that probably would have been a good business decision, but I felt like, hey, you can reuse this. This is a tool that you can reuse. And so that's what made sense to me at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think our birth stories are just, I'm just flashing back to a Mommy and Me class that was more about, it was called parent education. So it was more about like our experiences as parents. And we were supposed to one day like partner up and share our birth stories. And mm-hmm. I had never realized just like how little I had talked about the birth story until it was brought up. And I remember thinking like, this is sort of lame. What's the point? This is in the past and it's over and the baby got out. So what's the big deal? And I love what you said earlier about just how personal trauma is, how what's traumatizing for you. Because I think I've heard a lot of traumatic birth stories, and mm-hmm. it really does depend on what was traumatizing for the woman.
Right. And
I've been in the past a little judgmental, like, that doesn't sound traumatic, but no, it's mm-hmm. not someone's experience, it is.
Right. Right. It's completely relative and personal to the person. And like, even the same people who are in the very room together might not experience the same thing as, you know, as traumatic. The midwife might feel that it was mainly, you know, routine or something, you know, didn't feel endangering to her in the same way. Or you might have a situation where it was traumatic to everybody in the room, where the midwife was somewhat traumatized, and that can be really important for them to work through as well, so that they can keep taking care of their other clients, you know?
Right. Oh, yeah. So you've written another book for...
Yeah. A guide. Yeah.
A little guide. Well, it's...
You can call it a book if you want. It's fine. It's a book. But I guess they're more ebooks. So I now have on my website is... They're both PDF bundles. So Birth Story Brave is the one that we've been talking about that yeah. is available on Amazon, but it's also on my website in... When you purchase it, it comes with two PDF files. So it's one that's fillable if you'd like to save a copy on your computer. And again, you can save a blank copy and reuse, or you can print out. There's a printable one as well. And so again, that was basically to cater to people's different styles and or different moods or what they're feeling like. And then so the new one that just launched, it was either late June or early July. I'll be honest, we had a lot of family stuff going on right then, so I can't even remember. It was a busy time. That's called Birth Story Held, and that is for birth doulas, midwives, and OBs to process their experiences with helping bring babies into the world. You know, as a means of healing and processing, to both do self-care for themselves and to show up that much more, you know, healthy to the next client that they're working with, because that's another huge way, of course, to help the whole birth industry, really.
Yeah.
That's
just like, it's like a whole angle I never even thought about, that mm-hmm. like professionals will have their own feelings around the experiences,
yes.
whether they process them or not. Writing,
yeah.
Writing is just such a wonderful way to like, to even find the feelings.
Isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I feel like, and there are people out there who journaling is not for them. And even before getting into this work, I've met plenty of people who were, and people would be open to things like gratitude journaling, but not really, you know, writing. And so, you know, you could still do an audio journal or something like that, where maybe you're recording your thoughts instead. And you don't have to write. That's not for everyone, but I feel like it can be so powerful. And I think there are a lot of moms out there, and there's nothing wrong with the people who say, you know, like you were kind of saying, like, it's in the past. I don't see the value in that. But there are a lot of things that happen in the past that impact our present. Mm-hmm. And there's no way to be aware of them unless we kind of like do a little peeking, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you've got me thinking, I mean, even though I wrote the whole book about postpartum depression, I still think about it and process and understand. And just talking to you makes me think about, like how I felt lazy because I was, like, struggling to get Pippa out. And how I hadn't practiced the breathing techniques. And so, and I had assumed my epidural would work when I gave birth.
Yes.
And I didn't realize it was going to wear off. And so I just felt unprepared. And, like, those feelings must have been echoing in those postpartum months. Like, that was the start of motherhood for me. And
it can be a story. That can become a story,
yes.
of how we define ourselves as mothers.
Yes.
So it's really interesting to be able to take space, get the professional help if you need it. You know, so if you're coming through a journaling exercise and you feel like you really need the external help, like, that's totally fine. And this tool can be used in that environment, but it gives us an opportunity to uncover the story, mm-hmm. and to rename the story. I mean, we have stories for all sorts of things in our lives, starting from, you know, stories about ourselves, you know, I'm unworthy, I am, you know, a story. And, you know, I think that's one that a lot of women can relate to. And these start when we're very young and we gather evidence to support them rather than seeing the evidence that refutes them. We just kind of like stockpile, we stockpile the the everything that supports the unworthiness. And we say to ourselves, see, this means that I'm unworthy. Meanwhile, there could be all this other evidence that we're ignoring. And so it can be really neat as an adult to look back and uncover that and find the evidence that refutes that story and rename a story so that moving forward, we don't have to be in that same one.
Yeah. When you, oh my gosh. Yes.
Tell me what you were thinking.
Well, I'm thinking yes, but I'm also thinking like how when you write, you're not just the writer, you're like the editor, you're the publisher. I mean, you get to decide what is the name of my story. And I mean, that's why it was so powerful for me when I picked the title Adventures of Postpartum Depression. It wasn't an illness. It didn't just happen to me. It was an adventure. It was, and it turned something very negative into something for me that was actually exciting and positive. So, yeah, there's so much that can happen with writing. And I agree that you can journal on your own, but it is also really helpful to have a therapist there to like lead you through the feelings. I used to give all my journal entries to two different therapists, and that like made the work, I think, a lot more productive.
Sure. Oh, what a great idea. And to be so, so very vulnerable in that moment. I mean, that's like the most personal place that we deposit our feelings.
Yeah. And I had to actually stop doing it at one point with my therapist, cause I was like, I need to get to, I think like I'm holding back because I know you're getting it. But when I was giving it to her, it was helpful. It's a tool. And sometimes you're using the tool in your kit, and sometimes this isn't the, you know, you don't need the hammer and you put it away and you get the wrench. And
exactly.
Do some other work.
Exactly.
Well, so for all the moms out there listening, do you have any advice that you want to share?
So I think one of my go-to pieces of advice is to be gentle with yourself, but that's really, really hard to do in postpartum and during pregnancy, you know, especially when you have all the symptoms of anxiety, depression, adjustment challenges, when those are weighing down on you, being gentle with yourself feels like climbing a mountain. So I would say, accept the help, make the investment, because it is an investment. Spending that money towards therapy or counseling after postpartum in particular and during pregnancy can feel very, very even worse maybe than it normally would to people who are uncomfortable spending, but to anybody, because at the point of time when you're maybe hunkered down, you've got this new life to support. But what's huge is to make the investment now, because it will have the biggest impact on how you are as a parent and how you connect with your child. And that's something that I feel like there's an urgency to address.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, we form these big bonds with our babies when they're little, and they're not just sort of these blank little creatures. They are forming memories and relationships and meaning, and you know, the only way that we can really show up for them is to show up for ourselves first. And we can show up for ourselves by making an investment into ourselves and saying, okay, I'm going to take a step. And I think that's the hardest step, is to make either to like look up the list of therapists or people or make the phone call. That's a hard step.
Yes. Okay. So now I'm going to put you on a spot with like just a random question that popped in my head.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Well, you're a therapist. Finding a therapist. What advice? I know a lot of moms who are like, I want a therapist.
Yes.
But they're so afraid that they go to that first appointment and they're not going to click.
Like, and that's okay.
And that's okay. Like, I just want, oh, I need you to say that so that the people listening out there get over it.
Sure, yeah. And actually, it's so funny you say that, because I just posted a video on my Facebook business page about this last week. And something that I say to every single new client when I meet with them, or right now I'm doing a lot of video therapy, so when I see them for the first time, is that it's completely okay if you don't click with me. It's completely okay if you decide that you'd like to go in another direction with someone else. This is not about me. This is about you, and it's your journey. And you won't get as much out of it at all if we're not connecting. So I make it very clear that it's not about me, that they don't need to feel any sort of like they owe me something, they have to come back for another session, or that they're tied in, or... And I also don't want people to feel like they need to, that they should give up after going and they don't connect, because it's sort of like dating in that, you know, some people were lucky enough to find the person that they end up with on their first date, but I wasn't. And yeah, there are many experiments in that. And that's kind of what it is. It's an experiment. There were many experiments, and that can happen with therapy too. Don't be afraid to address the elephant in the room and just say, you know, I think I'm looking for a different style, or you don't even have to have that conversation with the therapist, but try again, because there's somebody out there for you.
Is there a good words to use for the breakup with a therapist?
You mean like when you're having the conversation?
Yeah, like if you, like for, I'm just, I know like moms are, they're you know, that anxiety, you're thinking 10 steps ahead. What if this doesn't, so what if we don't click, and what if I have to break up, how will I do that?
So something that, you know, some people do is, of course, they just like end the session and they don't come back. So that's always an option. But you know, I feel like a good therapist will be able to hear, and it's not your job if they take it personally. If they take it personally, it's on them. But be able to hear something like I said, you know, just a bit ago, I think I'm looking for a slightly different style, and I'm going to try another direction. I'm going to go in a different direction. I'm going to try another route. And you can always say, I think I would, you know, heal more in a different environment. I could grow with a different, and it's a hard thing to say. And that's why a lot of people just don't show up again.
Right.
which I completely understand. You don't have to have that, you know, especially for people who are in this vulnerable place anyway, having that conversation might be unnecessary, an unnecessary stressor, but it is a good way to exercise your voice. And, so again, doing those little things that scare you, that's huge. And I want to say that that's one of the biggest parts in postpartum recovery, is doing little things in little doses that scare you. Mm-hmm. And then life in general. It's a big thing in life in general.
It really is. Yeah, but the more you do the things that scare you, the more you see, I was kind of scared over nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And then I was okay. I survived. Nothing dreadful happened. I'm in one piece. Or that was scary, but I did it anyway, and now I feel more empowered, you know? Mm-hmm. Like going to the grocery store for the first time with your newborn, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, I mean,
speaking from personal experience.
Yes, sometimes you do it, and it's the worst case scenario, and then you realize, oh, the worst case scenario is I leave the groceries here.
And exactly.
And I go deal with the blowout poop, and the blowout diaper seems so epic. And then you've done it, and you're like, I got the merit badge. I did it.
Exactly. It's like adding like, yeah, a little star or a pin or whatever into your new parent container. You know, you're building up this repertoire of things you can do in this new role. And it feels very intimidating to some people. I think a lot of people. And the big difference, like, it's not that we don't all have worries as new parents. It's that those of us who experience anxiety and depression just respond to that worry differently. And that's nothing to be ashamed of. There was during my maternal mental health training, there was like an analogy of, you know, some people trip on the sidewalk and they are able to like recover and just keep walking forward. Some people fall down, and that's not anything to be embarrassed of, or it's just a difference.
Right.
It's just a difference. So, know that other parents are also worrying. The worries are in their heads too. It might be, you know, not showing up in the same way in their lives, but the worries are there.
Right. I mean, we all have different bodies and different brain chemistry and different stuff and different life stories. So we're all going to respond differently.
Well, yeah.
I could keep you here all day, but you know, you've got work to do. And where can people find, you know, wait, before I ask where people can find you, can you,
sure.
You're in Maryland. Do you only work with Maryland moms, or are you available for moms in other areas?
So I'm in Maryland, and when it comes to actual therapy, because my license only covers, you know, the state that I'm licensed in, I can only do actual therapy with clients in Maryland. And so that's, you know, treating anxiety and depression and adjustment disorder and things like that. However, I am starting to do some sort of, it's like consulting sort of, it's, I'm calling them friendly visitor chats. That might change, but for expectant and new parents, to talk about expectations, the identity shift, resources, their partnership, you know, and ways to maintain the relationship. So that is something, because we're not doing therapy, that's something I can do, you know, wherever, you know, it can be, it's through a secure video platform. And so that's something that can be done wherever. And I'm really excited about that new service. So that's not therapy, but it's an additional service that I'm offering.
It's the preparation that people actually need that they don't get.
Yep. And nobody, I think that we don't talk enough about the identity shift and the impact it can have on our relationship. And so I wanted to really do a lot about the education piece and the prep piece and encouraging conversations to happen between partners or, you know, a person to do the self-reflection if they're doing it on their own.
Well, yeah, it's easier to have the conversation if you've gotten advice from a professional and you took the time.
Yeah.
Like, no, honey.
You don't know what you don't know. Yeah, it's that whole thing. Yeah.
Honey, we got to talk about this. I talked to Emily. She said we need to talk about this. So.
Right. Exactly. And so I think that can be something that could be helpful in making people feel empowered and gaining clarity mm-hmm. as they enter into parenthood. Yeah. So
where can folks find you?
So I am on Instagram at @nesting_space. Mm-hmm. And Facebook, Nesting Space Therapy. www.nestingspacetherapy.com is my website. And I'm trying to think. And if there are any moms who are also entrepreneurs, I'm a panelist for this awesome online publication called Mother Hustle. And there's a great group of women who are entrepreneurs, mothers who are entrepreneurs on there writing about themes and kind of reflecting on all sorts of things. And it's just a really, it's a great community of women over there.
That sounds
so. That's
awesome.
another place to find me in a slightly different role.
Well, and I'll have all of this in the show notes. Like, and I hate doing the pop quizzes. Like, do you know your social media handle? Because
yeah, well, I had to look it up when I emailed you the other day. I was like, I think this is what it is. But what if I send people to an entirely different?
Yeah, I don't know my Facebook. I don't know my Facebook address. I don't remember my Instagram. It's you know.
Well, I had to look at my Skype one to send you for our conversation today.
Yeah, well, I went on Skype this morning and couldn't even find my name. So
I would have told you what it was, but I can't find what yours is either.
It's okay, so it's not me.
Like my profile comes up. I couldn't find it. And I was like, oh, I'll just tell her. And
no, it doesn't even. Okay, maybe I'm not completely as brain dead as I thought I was.
No, and I mean, I think that I'm probably in the same boat as you are with that anyway. I mean, There are real brain changes. There are real structural changes that happen. And there's research to back that up.
Yes. Our brains have gone crazy.
That's the technical way of saying it.
Yeah, it's very technical. Well, on that note, Emily, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. I was so excited to talk with you today.
Thank you, Emily, again, so much for coming on the show. And I went and double-checked my notes. And I can never remember the titles of books. Does anyone else have this problem? I mean, unless it's called Gone with the Wind, I'm like, I mean, like even like the name of my own book, I'm like, what is it called again? Emily's books are called Birth Story Brave, That's a Guide for Reflecting on Your Childbirth Experience, and Birth Story Held, which is a guide for birth doulas, midwives, and OBGYNs to process their experiences that they have with childbirth and clients. And Emily lives over on the internet on nestingspacetherapy.com. This will all be on the show notes for episode 78 over on ppdadventures.com. And now I have to tell you, this is our last interview of the 2018 season. I'm going to have another episode, hopefully in the next week or two, where I'm catching you up on all of my life changes that I've made this year and where I am with my various, you know, mental, physical, spiritual journeys. And then I'm taking the rest of the year off because holidays are coming and we're in the back to school period. And well, mainly just because like my intuition is telling me it's time for a break. So it's time for me to lay fallow. But I already have a list going of people who want to do interviews. So I'm going to be contacting folks in the brand new year to do interviews for a 2019 season. And if you want to get your name on that list, email me, Courtney@ppdadventures.com. And I'll be sure to get in touch with you in the new year and be back with more interviews then. And until then, I will be back with one more episode to close out the 2018 season. And Emily, I loved having you as the final interview of the season. It was the perfect note to end on with the personal experiences
and the experiences as a counselor. You know, I know it's technically called licensed clinical social worker, but that is such a mouthful to say. Okay. Postpartum depression and all maternal mood disorders are incredibly lonely and isolating experiences. They can make you feel like you are the only person who has ever felt this way before, or you are absolutely the worst mother in the history of humanity. Trust me, you're not. You are not alone. There are just thousands and thousands and thousands of women who have felt this way before. And you can and will, with proper support, make a full recovery. I love you, and I will see you again soon in the next couple of weeks with the final episode of 2018 season.